Well, a pleasant good evening to you. It is good to be together once again on this Lord's Day. It's an exciting time. We get to gather together and to study again another portion of God's Word. We get to sing songs. We get to pray to God. We get to talk with God. We get to talk with God. He hears us. He listens to us. He's able to communicate to us through His Word. We're able to open up our hearts, our ears, and our minds to what He would have us to be every day. We are going to be looking in a historical context this evening through the book. We'll go kind of quickly through a little part of the book of Ezra. The book of Ezra is found in your Old Testament. It is thought to have said that Ezra and Nehemiah were once contained on the same scroll, that they coincided together. They do go over the same time period, and so that would kind of make sense. And then as time went on, they kind of, hey, we're going to break these up a little bit. They kind of deal with some different ideas, different segments within the same segment of time period. Ezra was sent by a man named Artaxerxes. And if you've never heard his name said before, and you read it in the Bible, and you can get Artaxerxes out of that, then you're better at the English language than I. But his name was King Artaxerxes. He was sent back up toward Jerusalem, where they had already begun and had actually accomplished the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem after captivity. They had rebuilt the temple after the fact by the hand of Zerubbabel. And they had rebuilt that temple, but after they did that, they kind of had some discord among them. There were some Israelites that were sent away in exile, and there were kind of some that lingered around, and they had kind of, the ones who lingered around, they kind of had not done some things that they were supposed to do, that everyone else thought they should have done. And then there's just the all-in-all fact of, we were the ones from exile, and now we've come back home, and everybody back home, we're like, y'all are the ones that left in exile. What are you doing coming back home? And so there was a lot of animosity there, a lot of bad blood kind of deal. And Ezra was sent back up to kind of keep peace. And he was going to bring back order, if you will, to the Israelites and their problems. And then, of course, then there's on the tail end, just so you know how it ends, Nehemiah goes back up to finish the wall around Jerusalem. So, there we go. So, we have Ezra. He was sent to kind of fuse out the situation. Bring still waters. Maybe, maybe not. But he was there to correct the waters back towards God, so that the children of Israel would do what God wanted them to do. Ezra. Can we be an Ezra? Is there discord? Is there problems that we know about that we can try to rectify by bringing the Word of God to them? Is there a problem or situation at home or at the workplace, within the church maybe even, that we need to go back to God and someone needs to stand up and be an everyday Ezra and say, we need to be back in God's eyes. We need to be doing the things that God wants us to do. We need to be living the way that God wants us to live. In Ezra chapter 7, about in the middle of the book of Ezra, we have this verse that was given out by Ezra. For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach his statutes and rules in Jerusalem. Ezra. Just an everyday Ezra. We have these commands, we have these ideas given by Ezra for us to do. And this verse right here is going to be the context study of what we're going to look at. This verse. This passage, for Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach his statutes and rules in Jerusalem. The first segment there that we see that stands out is Ezra has set his heart. There's so many people that seemingly they grow up in the church, they do the things that's supposed to be done, that's churchy stuff, and they try to live a life churchy because mom and dad lived a life that is churchy. And Ezra could have also been one to have done this. In the first five verses of Ezra chapter 7, they give the lineage, genealogy of Ezra. And there, right there at the end of verse 5, when they back it all the way up to the beginning of Ezra's family, they get to Aaron, the brother of Moses. Ezra could back his genealogy up to the chief priest, to the first chief priest, to the line of Aaron, who is going to be the leader, who is going to be the leader right beside Moses. Remember, the one who is going to go with Moses because he is well with speech, here is Ezra. If anyone was going to take after and just say, you know what, my family, because of who my family is, I'm as good as in. I'm as good as in. I'm a shoe-in. I'm a shoe-in to please God because look at my family. There are people who try to ride the coattails of their family to get into heaven. But Ezra was not one of these people. He had set his heart. The idea that studying God's Word and opening up the Bible is a personal matter. And many times we just say, well, we'll participate in class and we'll show up and we'll get the check mark and we'll be good. Ezra had set his heart to study the law, to study the law of the Lord. He had put everything into it. Where your heart is, that's where you're going to be. We talked about in our middle school, high school class this morning, we talked a little bit about the heart and how we need to guard our heart. And we looked at the internet and how we need to guard our heart against the things that are on the line and on the web that we can see out there, and how easily acceptable sin is, how easy it is to access that and get to it with just a click of a button. That at once we go there one time, we don't even have to finish the word. We can just put the first few letters in and it'll fill it out for us. How we need to guard our heart and set our heart on the law of the Lord to do God's things. It reminds me of the blessed man from Psalms chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Ezra was that blessed man. He had set his heart on studying the Word of God. His delight was in the law of the Lord. His delight, what brought him joy, what brought him happiness, was studying God's Word. And being able to dwell on it, to meditate on it, to pray to God in it, and to understand it. Too many times we become complacent with the fact that, with this idea of, you know, I'm around who I'm around. That's just the way it is. And, well, everyone else is immoral, so I'm going to be just a little bit immoral too. And, well, I let that pass, so why don't I let this pass over here? Do we become walking in the counsel of the wicked and standing in the way of sinners? And do we hang out at the seat with scoffers? We need to be like Ezra in setting our heart, our mind, our soul, all of our energy into reading the Word of God, studying the Word of God, understanding the Word of God, dwelling with it, and letting that marinate and soak in our hearts to change us. Because Ezra was one who was changed. He set out to study and he put it into practice. To study the law of the Lord and to do it. You know, it's one thing to just simply attain knowledge. That's great. You can learn all the things in medicine there ever was. You could learn everything about everyone and understand medicine to the best and not be any good of a doctor. There was my cousin who is a lawyer. We were talking this past week and he was telling me about a professor he had who was no good at law. He knew everything about the U.S. law. He was a constitutional professor, and so he taught constitutional law, but he had no personal skills. He said he could not get clients, he could not keep clients, and he didn't know how to speak to anybody in court, but he knew the law. Frontwards and backwards and inside out. He said he ended up getting a law degree, but couldn't make it as a lawyer. He ended up just teaching law school. So it's one thing to obtain all this knowledge when we read the Word of God, but we have to go out and put it into practice. We have to go out and we have to actually do it. We have to try it. We have to make corrections. We mess up. We have to do better. To learn the law of the Lord, to think that on the day of judgment, I think Brother Robert talked about this a week or so ago, and it's not like we're going to get in and we've got this exit exam that we have to pass. We're going to be judged on whether the fact of that we did what God had commanded us to do, what we had opportunity to learn and read and study, whether we did those things or not. That's what we're going to be judged on. That's what our judgment is going to be based upon, is did we do what God had commanded, God had directed, God had given and shown mercy to us to do. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 says, do your best to present yourself to God. To present who to God? My job isn't to produce my wife to God. That's not my role. Her job isn't to produce me into God and present me before Him. My job is not to present one of you or one of you to present me. But you do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the Word of God. We must gather a very real and practical idea of the Scripture. We can't be filled with someone else or something else or some ideal. We must be steadfast and true and determined that we are going to present ourselves, just like we personally studied the Word, the law of the Lord and its statutes, that we're going to do what God would have us to do. We have nothing to be ashamed of in that matter in handling the Word of truth. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Who is doing God's will? Who is taking the knowledge that they had studied and put it into practice? Who are the ones that are doing what God would want them to do? The one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. I think we live in a world and a society that loves the idea of God. That loves the idea of a God who will do something for me. Who is going to fulfill something for me. And that's not Ezra. When we read about Ezra and we find out he was the man that studied the law, that studied the law and the statutes of the Lord, and he went out and he did it. He traveled to Jerusalem to put it into practice and to teach it to others. He was going to be about God's business. And it wasn't this idea that, you know, I need God to do something for me, or I need the church to do something for me, or the nation of Israel owes me something. What can I do for them? Well, it was so ingrained in Ezra. His passion was so evident that he did not just alone say, hey, this isn't just good enough for me to learn and know. This isn't just good enough for me to do. But this is something that everyone needs to know. That everyone needs to be putting into practice. This is something that all the world over needs to know. And especially the chosen people of God in the house of Israel. It's not just about knowing the right and the wrong answer to Ezra. It's about everyone changing who they are and becoming what God would want them to be in their service to God. Who is going to be the one to teach the statutes and rules in Jerusalem? Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8, and I heard the voice of the Lord say, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And then I said, here I am, send me. What about you? Are you willing to answer that question, that call, the same way? Are you willing to say, yes, I'll do that? Yes, Lord, here am I. Yes, Lord, I'm going to take my Bible and I'm going to read my Bible daily. Yes, Lord, I'm going to take the knowledge that I learn when I read the Scriptures and I'm going to put it into practice. Yes, Lord, I'm going to share what I have read and what I have studied and what I am doing with others. God's will is that no man would perish. No, not one. So who is standing here, who is sitting here tonight that is saying, here I am. Send me. That is ready to be like Ezra, that is ready to share, to go to a town, to go where there are problems and say, you know what? We can look at the Word of God. We can open up the Bible and we can look and we can see what God would have us to do. And let me tell you something that happened with Ezra. Let me tell you something that's going to happen when we do that today. Everybody's going to just hug you and say, thank you so much for this information. I'll be sure to do it right away. That's going to be a lot of fun. I love you. Thank you so much for telling me that my life is messed up and that I need to change. I appreciate it. This is great. Can't we sit down and eat together now? I'll buy a ribeye for you. That's not what it's going to be like. You're going to face ridicule. You're going to face people that even hate you, that despise you, that want nothing to do with you. You're going to have people say you're crazy and your whole family's crazy and anybody that knows your family's crazy because of what you set out to do. Because you were willing to stand up and say, here I am, send me. And that's fine. That's okay with me. I'm all right for you to think I'm crazy. I'm all right to think you my family's crazy. I don't know if they think it's all right to be married to crazy me, but I mean, that's all right with me. Let me tell you why it's alright with me. It's alright with me because everybody said the same thing about Jesus. They said he was crazy. They said he was out of his mind. They said his own family said, who do you think you are? His brother. He said, we grew up with you. We kicked rocks around together and played pranks on the farm. And you think you're better than us. You're crazy. You need to come back home. Jesus said, I was sent here to do God's will. That's exactly what I aim to do. Every day. Just an everyday Ezra. That's willing to stand up and say, you know what? I was sent here to read and to study and to practice and to put into practice and help others practice what God would want them to do. And that's exactly what I'm going to do. That's exactly what I'm going to do here. Because when I read the Scripture, I can understand what God wants me to do. When I read the Scripture, I understand that all Scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. We must be willing to use the Word of God to benefit and to glorify God. It teaches us and others. It corrects. It justifies our actions. It trains us into how we ought to be. That it may produce before God that which has already been completed. If you think about earth and your life is a training ground. Your life is from the very beginning your training. It is a process, a building process. That all throughout the course of your life, the things that you have gone through, the things that you have developed, the skills that you have obtained, the life you have lived, it gets you to that final end. And when you have passed on from this world, when your last breath has exited your body, everything that you have trained for will now be put into practice. If you have trained in your life to become a Christian, to become a disciple of God, that you want to spend time with God, that you want to live with God, that you desire to have God in your life, and that's how you live your life. And you have trained every day for that. You trained it by reading the Scriptures, you trained it by putting it into practice, you trained for it by teaching others. You did all those things, then on that day, you're not going to be one of the ones who just say, Lord, Lord. You're going to be one of the ones who has done the will of the Father. If you're one of the ones who have trained every day to not care, to not study the Bible, to not put it into practice, to have not taught it, to have just done what I want to do, then you're going to have that training completed as well. You're going to have that training finished. And that place is the place that was reserved for Satan and his angels, not meant for us. But God will have no part of evil. That training, that building, that construction that's living out your life, all your life, finally completed. What was her name? Billy Graham's wife, that's the only way I know how to put it. She had put on her tombstone these words: construction completed. End date. Is your life the construction that you want, or is it the construction that you despise? Are you an everyday Ezra? Are you living your life for God? Are you living your life for yourself? Are you ready to be an everyday Ezra? We need to be about studying God's Word every day. And I think a lot of times we look at the Bible and we look at one big old thick fat Bible. As we get older, maybe that Bible gets bigger and bigger because the letters have to get bigger and bigger. That's okay. And we look at that and we say, there's no way for us to do that. There's no way I can read that great big old book. No way I can sit down and read all that. Well, just read it one time and just see how far you get. Say, I'm going to take a month. I'm just going to see how far I get. Well, look at there. I got a fifth of the way through it. I got through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. I made through 5 books. Don't know till you don't try. You'll never know until you try. I'll tell you something. God's Word has a way of changing you and motivating you to keep on keeping on, to wanting to know more. And then we need to start living God's Word. We need to take those things that we're reading and put them into practice. We need to take those things and we need to do them every day. It says, be kind to your neighbor, to love your neighbor. And guess what? Every day I'm going to wake up, I'm going to love my neighbor. It says to honor your father and mother. I need to wake up every morning. I need to honor my father and my mother. It tells me that I should live a life shining my light in a dark world, that I shouldn't be hiding my candle under a basket. Then I need to throw away all my baskets so that I won't be tempted to be a Christian in hiding. We need to live out God's Word every day. And the last thing we need to do is to be about teaching God's Word. You know, in some places it would be hard to say these things. You know, somebody that wants to teach engineering, you know, you're trying to find somebody that's interested in engineering or math, or maybe you're really weird and you want to be an accountant, and you're just... Not only are numbers crazy, but boring numbers are even crazier. So you want to do those things. You know, it's hard to find somebody that wants to do that stuff. You know, it's difficult. I mean, it's just not everywhere. You know, you can come up and talk to me about anything other than accounting and engineering, and I might be halfway interested. Might be fun. I would talk about maybe some of the engineering practices, but actually the numbers and the angle stuff, I don't care about that. You have to search and find an audience for people that this problem affects them. This Word of God affects everybody. You don't have to look, but to your left or to your right, frontwards or behind you, to find somebody that the Bible is applicable to. Because all men everywhere are desired by God to become Christians. And the unfortunate part of it is all men everywhere have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we all need what He has to offer. But so many in this world don't even know. Are we going to be about teaching God's Word? to others and be an everyday Ezra. This evening, if you're here and you are not a Christian, you haven't been living as a Christian should, you have been putting off the things that you know you ought to do, then we have opportunity here given for you to set your life right, to redirect your course to living your life the way that God would want you to live it. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.